Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across from me. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, he's where he belongs, on the other side of the glass, and you are on your side of the radio, which is a wonderful place to be at this time of day. We hope you're in not only earshot of the radio waves, but cell phone coverage, because you're going to need to call us today. On the Mark, we're going to have a lot of good topics that you'll wish to help us discuss.
Really? Okay. I didn't know we were going to be that good.
Well,
I thought we'd just be adequate.
It's become apparent that we're having trouble getting best of shows. So
we need to pick up our game, right?
All
right.
Exactly. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Did you listen to the best of yesterday?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact. I'm sorry. I heard you promo it. It was our representative, and our state representative.
Right, so that was that. And we had some other shows on the standby, too, but mostly we got to air those interviews again. So if you'd like to hear them, go to WKOK.com. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. So that opens up the program today. We got an open line, 1-800-795-9565. Let's see. In the news, had another shooting in Texas, so that kind of popped up. We have a hurricane that's bearing down on Florida, and Category 3 strength right at the moment after devastating Bahamas. Just incredible damage there. And let's see what else is cooking in the news. The president, I'm sure, is up to something that is divisive and controversial and is being made worse by tweeting about it.
Well, he's being pilloried for playing golf, which is what
who
other
said
people.
That? My lovely bride said somebody was talking about that. Who's observing this? That
some group on the left saying he's... It was the mayor of London, Mayor Khan of London.
What's his stake in all
well,
this?
Well, he doesn't like the president. The president doesn't care for him. So apparently any chance they get to throw brickbats at each other, they pick him up and give him a toss. But he said that the came down to the president for playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the president did cancel his trip to Poland, but, you know, he's entitled to some time over the holiday weekend. There was nothing he could do. He can't personally go down there and stop the storm from coming.
He's not a Red Cross volunteer.
No. And, you know, and I don't think the Secret Service would let him go into a dangerous situation like that, even if he wanted to.
Can they veto his trip, Sam? Sorry,
I'm pretty sure they can.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's a serious threat to his personal safety, any president, not just Donald Trump, any president.
Okay.
Now, of course, they can always, I think they have to sign a waiver if they want to go without protection or if they want to go against
the
advice.
where does that leave us as a nation? Well, your president's gone, but I'll tell you what, he signed the waiver, so he's off scot-free. Don't worry about leadership.
Well, I mean, Jack Kennedy used to evade his Secret Service detail for a variety of reasons, all of them beneficial
to
the country.
Well, that's pretty common. I watch TV all the time. They sneak out the back door and go get a cheeseburger or some ribs.
Right, and President Obama had restaurants he liked to go to on the QT, so nothing wrong with that.
He was a Five Guys.
I don't know, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Salty beef burger.
They used to get on President Eisenhower because he had a golf hole installed on the White House lawn. And when he was tired or when he was oppressed or had a bad day, he'd go out there and hit a few golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything wrong with that? I mean, everybody has to do something for relaxation.
Well, and exercise, too. Your body craves some outdoor fitness
activities. Well, as a former golfer, I can tell you I don't see a lot of physical fitness in golf. Maybe there'll be a lot of people calling in and raising Cain with me for saying that. But, you know,
well, if you walk 18 holes, how far is that?
Yes, if you walk, but most people ride in carts.
Mm.
You know, and a friend of mine even had, he walked, but he had one of those carts that you put something in your pocket and it follows you.
Just
held the golf bag. In other words, it was a motorized golf bag carrier.
Okay.
And it would follow him where he went.
I'm not familiar with those. I used to be a caddy at a golf course 30 short years ago, so I've walked the links many a day.
Well, if you walk, you get exercise. But if you don't walk, if you ride the cart, I don't think you do.
It's hard to...
I always rode the cart, but I got plenty of exercise because my golf ball was always in the woods, and I had to walk through the woods to find it.
Yeah, you can't drive across the fairway all the time.
No, I can't drive a cart there.
So,
which is why I gave the game up.
He was wearing out the carts.
No, I was spending too much in golf balls.
Well, a lot of golf courses, individuals have their own carts. You know, I mean, of course, you can rent a public cart at a club, but a lot of guys would come in with a trailer and they'd have their own carts.
But I'm sure the president has his own cart, and I don't have any problem with him playing golf. I didn't have any problem with Barack Obama playing golf.
You know, he has a golf cart with Secret Service.
It probably has a presidential crest on it. Who knows?
Right. Well, anyway, okay, so back to this. Well, I think the mayor of London is spot on. I think if you have, the optics are bad. But, you know, when is the last time this president's been worried about the appearance of something
bad optics about playing a round of golf on the weekend, on a holiday weekend?
Well, people have died. People are in peril. Everybody's worried. People are evacuating and boarding up.
Well,
what's appropriate to do now that the nation's prepared? Preparing for a disaster. Well, it looks like we got to do 9 holes.
Well, some 25 people were burned to death in a tragic boating accident in California. Should the president have been out there with a fire extinguisher?
No, but that was an incident. This is an ongoing situation.
This is an incident, too. It's not an everyday occurrence. And until it actually hits land and until there's actually something to be done here in the United States or one of our possessions or territories, what else is there for him to do?
Well, I think express concern. He should watch the Weather Channel like the rest of us. No, he should watch the Weather Channel like the rest of us. Somebody called it hurricane porn when you're watching the hurricane coverage.
Well, he got into trouble, too, with the left this morning on Morning Joe briefly. Apparently, he tweeted out sometime over the weekend that Alabama was in danger, and the National Weather Service immediately responded saying, no, it's not in danger.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But then the president supposedly doubled down on it, saying that it is.
Well, he would know. I mean, he's a meteorologist that has...
the president.
I'm sorry. He has access to people who are meteorologists that are... I guess the National Hurricane Center calls them before they call the Weather Channel.
Well, I think what he was trying to do is make sure everybody realized how serious this storm could be.
Right, before he goes out and golfs.
Right.
I hear you saying here? Am I getting this right?
Well, what would you have him do? Just sit around and wring his hands in the White House all weekend?
I understand. It's a pickle because what do you do? You want to appear concerned and that you're monitoring the mobilization and if necessary, deploying some of the resources that he can do. But at the same time, he is not a Red Cross volunteer or a PPL worker or somebody else who's down there.
He can't go out and string up the power lines on the poles.
And he could deploy National Guard all day long from on the golf course. So I see why it's a dilemma. But on the other hand, I just think that this is a rare opportunity for him to show that his concern is real. You know, he could visit evacuation shelters and so on that are far from danger at the moment. You know, the Outer Banks and places like that already have been evacuated, so some of those vacationers or residents offered the opportunity to go to a location.
But if I've been moved out of my house and I have to take up residence in a shelter for a day or two, the last thing I need is the President of the United States wading through saying, hope everything's going okay.
Right. Well, what's the audience? Let's ask the audience. I think I don't think it's terrible that he went golfing. It's just that it's...
You sound like you do.
It's such a leisure activity in the face of danger. Of course, you rightly say, I mean, I'll concede your point that he's got to relax at some point, and there's nothing he can do, and he definitely has the best people on it. What's the audience think? Let us know. Let's hear about this. We'll do a quick phone poll before we move on too far here. 1-800-795-9565. 855 is our toll-free line. Should the president golf as we continue to monitor the approaching Hurricane Dorian? 1-800.
If you don't like that question, how about should Nero fiddle as Rome burns?
Wow, well, there you go. That's the other way to put it. Is it appropriate that the president is behaving inappropriately prior to a hurricane? 1-800-795-9565. We'd love to hear from you on this topic. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can send us a text at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. You can sign up for that at wkok.com. At that point, once you're signed up, we would send you no more than maybe 10 or a dozen messages a month with emergency breaking information or important news that will impact your life. Tornadic weather, hurricanic weather, or dead celebrities, or let's see, what else? Closed roads, that's the kind of thing that you get via Text Connect. So we just send you a short sentence about it so that you know that something is happening, and then a link. If you wish to click on that link, it would either send you, sometimes we just send it right to CBS News and their story about the item that you're talking about. Other times it would send you to WKOK.com. And so there you have it. So that's Text Connect, 70236, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Should the president fiddle while Rome burns? 1-800-795-9565. Or is it perfectly appropriate? He enjoys some R&R while he has excellent people doing an excellent job taking care of the hurricane response. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone. There we go. One email.
I sent it just to
stir things up.
You said you needed an email, so I sent you one.
All right. Well, I'll send us a text.
Says, let him golf.
And my text says he shouldn't golf. All right. Are you happy now?
Okay.
Well, let's resolve that.
Since no one really is too interested in whether the president plays golf or not, let's talk about the other big thing that happened over the weekend, and that is the shouting match, I guess you will, over the internet and in various other ways between the mayor of Chicago and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. The mayor of Chicago apparently had some things to say about him, and he had a few things to say about her that came largely about, as I gather, when Senator Cruz pointed out that, yes, Texas had nine people. Is it nine or is it up to 11 now? I think it's up to 11. Two people died over the weekend.
I don't remember.
I may be off on that. But he pointed out that over the weekend, 35 people were shot in Chicago, and 7 of them were killed. And this goes on every week, day in and day out, where Texas, I think the senator's point was an aberration. It wasn't something that happened all the time there. Yet in Chicago,
It happens every
week.
You can
get plugged and killed very easily there. And the mayor fired back, calling him some names and saying that 60% of the illegal guns confiscated in Chicago come from states that have lax gun regulations. But I think it reinforces what the NRA has said all along, that, you know, criminals don't follow the law. So, you know, it's against the law to bring a gun into Chicago. So you bring one in, who's it on? Is it on you or is it on the state where you bought the gun? And this guy in Texas, apparently, this is more troubling. The report I heard said he got his guns illegally. So that's concerning.
In Texas, right. He shouldn't have had a gun. Yes, 7 people killed and 22 injured.
Okay, I thought there were one or two who died over the weekend. There were two critical.
That could be, and maybe this is on CBS News. It was updated September 2nd. Yeah, so it's not today. This will be updated last evening.
I could be wrong then. I thought it was yesterday that I heard that a couple of other people had died. So maybe, thank God that they didn't. But still, you know, so who is responsible for this? And what will solve the problem? I mean, we keep going around and around and around, and the people who are opposed to guns insist that, you know, we've got to have universal background checks, which I agree on completely, and that we've got to have a ban on, what do you call them, semi-automatic or assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't have a real problem with that because I'm not a gun aficionado, and I don't really see the reason behind having that kind of firepower unless you're in the middle of a, you know, some armed conflict somewhere.
Well, I've enumerated the reasons why individuals want to keep those kinds of guns. Hunting is one reason, though. The semi-automatics, I'm not sure with, you can't have a clip full of or a magazine full of bullets under any circumstances with some of the semi-automatic rifles that I know of for hunting. But individuals like to collect them. I mean, why do you need a hot rod that can go 200 miles an hour? 100 miles an hour. But individuals like to build them and collect them and keep them going and so on. I think that's an aspect. There's individuals that keep them for protection in case, you know, on the distant possibility that it could be attacked. Some people are still concerned that our government could try to confiscate guns or become more oppressive, in which case we'd have to respond in some way. So I think those are the reasons that people are interested in, you know, those kinds of guns. But, you know, I don't have any problems with the regulations, but Chicago has an issue that goes far beyond a gun law. I mean, they have existing gun laws. So the city has an issue with shootings. And so apparently a lot of people who aren't supposed to be carrying guns are carrying them. What do you do? And I hate to use that phrase, it's sort of above my pay grade, but why is it that Chicago's gun laws aren't having the desired effect? Why is it that New York's are? You know, like New York City's a safe city. Now, New York City is certainly thriving far and away above what Chicago is in many areas right now. But there surely must be some best practice that can be carried to Chicago.
I would hope.
1-800-795-9565. Tom, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I'm going to, on the golf thing first, I think it was all right if Trump played golf, but he should have played in the Bahamas.
Other than that,
he shouldn't be playing golf because he scolded Obama about playing golf too much, and he said he was going to stay in the White House and work his ass off on the problems the country had. And he plays golf all the time. So, another broken promise.
We prefer
He should have been playing out in the Bahamas. I would have loved it.
Tom, we prefer the word posterior.
Work his posterior off.
Whatever. And as far as this
shooting our
thing,
show.
There's an easy way to solve this. You don't have to take away the guns. You take away the ammunition. You don't make ammunition for them.
Okay.
You don't make ammunition. You don't make clips. You're not allowed to sell them. It's very simple. People can have their guns. If they want to have their guns, they can have them. They can collect all the guns they want.
That's like saying you can collect an old...
If you don't have anything to shoot through, they ain't much good.
But, Tom, that's like saying you can collect old cars, but we aren't going to sell you any gasoline for them. What's the point of having it if you can't use it?
Well, then they won't buy them. If they want to just collect them, they just say they like to collect them.
But the thing is, how many of these mass murders have been committed by people who are responsible gun owners and responsible citizens? None of them.
It doesn't matter. They have laws for everything. They have laws against drunk driving that affect everybody. There's laws. Every law that there is affects everybody that doesn't do anything wrong.
Do you have a hobby, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, suppose I made it illegal for you to practice your hobby. Because I think what you're doing is dangerous.
I don't think model trains would...
They're very dangerous. You could get electrocuted.
There you go. Those transformers catch
Those
fire
transformers,
all the time.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they burn up.
Yeah, they're 12 volts will knock you, really.
I didn't know you were a model railroader.
And
so
I know Stan and Lance are going to be calling pretty soon, and they're going to be saying
Stan's
about
busy.
The gun standing in the corner not hurting anybody. But
I think Stan is working.
But seriously,
you can take a box of hand grenades and put them in the corner, and they won't hurt anybody either, unless you pull the pin and throw them. Or you can put a box of dynamite in the corner, and if you don't light it and throw it, it ain't going to do it. So, I mean, it's a stupid argument.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the answer, Tom? Taking everybody's guns away, or just not making ammunition for guns anymore?
Just don't make the ammunition for it. And you're not allowed to buy anything to reload them with. You're not allowed to reload them or anything.
And you don't think
the ammunition and the gun's useless.
And you don't think that other countries would fill that void, that there would be another prohibition?
Well, I'm sure they would try. I'm sure that the people would try to do it. But you just have to try to stop it, just like anything else. Just because people try to get around laws don't mean you don't make laws. People speed, so I guess we shouldn't have speeding laws.
But you don't feel that way about immigration. We have laws about that. And they're violated all the time. Huh?
I do feel that way about it. I don't think people should be coming in here illegally.
No, I thought you argued against that one at one point. Okay, well, I'm glad we're on the same side.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, so make ammunition.
I think they ought to go to the employers. I think they should be going to these employers and finding these employers.
Well, that makes sense. They know they're violating the law.
What do? They went down to Florida. And they went and raided up, got all the people out, but they never did anything to the employer.
Well, those charges may be pending, as I understand it.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. But so far, they haven't done anything to the employer, so that's a bad precedent.
No, I agree with you there. Yeah, I agree.
So make ammo illegal. We'll put that down. They're highly regulated ammunition.
Make ammo illegal. They're no good without ammo.
Okay.
That's an interesting point, you know, because then, you could apply for a permit to get ammunition to, you know, state what you're going to shoot.
Yeah, you could have 20 guns, but unless you have ammo, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy unlimited amounts of ammunition. It's totally unregulated at the moment.
All right.
Tom may be onto something here.
All right.
You got a good point, Tom. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Sir. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Ammunition needs to be sold by a licensed individual, but you can buy tons of it, and you can buy it by the crate or the carton or whatever.
Well, what would be the harm in limiting ammunition? In other words, during World War II, we rationed gasoline. So would it be wrong to ration ammunition
the effect of limiting gasoline? You didn't have any for leisure activities, but if you had a job that you needed to drive to,
you could get a bigger permit, for more gasoline during the war. If you didn't have any particular reason, or if you had access to public transport, you didn't get as much gasoline allocation. So, the need that you have for it would determine the amount you got.
Well, I think it's a bad idea. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Speedy dialers only. We have one idea that would make us safer. You're going to hear from U.S. Senator Toomey coming up. He's talking with the president about some of the Senator Toomey's ideas that related to gun laws. He has four or five things that he's floating, none of which relate to regulating ammunition. It's all about individuals and background checks and so on. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Regulating ammunition, would that help? I guess if you put ammunition through the same gauntlet as firearms, that would just sort of do the same thing. Jim, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in from Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
Mark, what about reloading your own, and what about David and Goliath with a slingshot?
Well, David and Goliath is probably not a real story. It's allegory, so it's meant to illustrate something important. So we'll scratch that off the list. Reloading supplies can be regulated, though. They already come from a gun store.
Reload my own.
Right, you can go to Geysers and get all those things, but they would just have to be regulated also. The components to bullets, just as the components to sort of military-style rifle, were regulated during the assault weapons ban, but you could still buy them individually and piece together an assault rifle.
Then ration the powder.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. You just regulate that the same way you do everything else.
You could always make your own black powder and use it.
Make your own black powder. Now you're really in the woods. I don't know about making your own black powder. It sounds kind of explosive to me.
Well, that's what they used to do with the muzzle loaders.
You made your own black powder.
Well, the worst that could happen is you blow yourself up instead of somebody else.
And how about a crossbow?
Yeah, oh my gosh, today's crossbows are pretty deadly. Well, they're basically one-shot rifles, really. Not quite as distant as a rifle, but certainly some of them are pretty darn close.
Hard to conceal a crossbow, however.
Well, they're smaller than you think nowadays, that's the first thing. But the second thing is they certainly are more accurate and quite deadly, I would think. But I'm not suggesting we regulate them, but...
Well, then,
in Pennsylvania, they're legal for deer, which
I think Jim's saying we should regulate rocks, too.
Is that next?
Right. And ball bearings.
Oh, yeah, because they go out of a slingshot at a tremendously high rate.
And out of small bombs.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, but
I know you're getting close to the hour, Mark and Joe, and I hope you both had a good holiday, and I'm going to listen to your show, but I had to call in quick.
Thank you.
And... just ask, what about reloading your own and slingshots?
Yeah, well, you can regulate slugs and slingshots.
Thanks, Jim. You can bring up all the reasons why something can't be done, but that doesn't solve the problem. You know, what should be done to keep people from committing mass murder? This guy in Texas obviously lost his job and went off the deep end.
We're going to keep talking about this, and we'll switch topics, too. We have some other topics to talk about as we launch into a Monday morning. WDKOK, hopefully a best of On the Mark show. This is WDKOK Sun.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back, or welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me, and we are talking about opportunities to cut down on the gun violence in the U.S. And as a result, we have email and some texts pending that relate to this, so we'll do a full recap of our discussion momentarily. So we invite you to join us in the conversation. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to join the individuals who have texted us, send us a text at 70236. If you're involved in the Text Connect system, you can send us an email, as one individual has done, and that's the address onthemark@wkok.com. And the Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. We thank them for being our good sponsor of the show since it went on the radio a decade or so ago, and now it's an opportunity for you to call in thanks to the Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company is on North 4th Street in Sunbury and on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf at the Kia dealership. They invite you to do as I will do this week. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Say I got a bunch of day trips planned and we'd like you to check out the vehicle before we hit the road, so they'll check all the fluids. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They'll make sure your belts are tight and in good condition and that your timing is good. If you have a timing belt, they'll probably make sure that's good. That would take an older car, but they know what to do when they see one. And they'll get out the little timing light and all that sort of thing. And they would just love to help you out at the Sunbury Motor Company to get you going. They got an alignment shop. If it's pulling one way or another and the tires are cupping or your camber is off or your toe is not in, then they'll fix you up at the Sunbury Motor Company. SunburyMotors.com. If your caster is off but your camber is good, they'll leave it alone. So SunburyMotors.com, a place to go to find out more about how to take good care of your vehicle before a road trip. Some brief news headlines. A couple of crashes around here. One involved an unidentified teen, a 16-year-old from Mount Pleasant Mills, flown to Geisinger Friday after a crash on Route 104. No names being disclosed by the hospital or by state police. That teen was driving on Route 104 in the right lane when he attempted to pass a vehicle in that caused collision. He was sent via life flight, but no word on his condition. A man who we do identify, Saturday night crash in Shamokin Township, Northumberland County, 35-year-old Sean Poe of Halifax, taken to Geisinger. No medical condition available from there after he crashed on Irish Valley Road. Joe Biden entered the Democratic primary promising to reject donations from lobbyists, yet he has accepted about $200,000 from lobbyists. His specific pledge was to forego money from federally registered lobbyists. That's left him free to take donations from state lobbyists, and so he has. These are individuals who lobby but do not meet the legal threshold of requiring them to register as a federal lobbyist. It's hard to quantify how much Biden has raised from the multi-billion-dollar influence industry. According to the review from the Associated Press, it's far more than his rivals have received. So lots of people backing potential presidential candidate. Well, I guess he is a presidential candidate, but he could become a nominee at some point. And a state lawmaker from Colorado has agreed to no longer block constituents from social media accounts linked to his state Senate office. Let me read that again. A state senator from Colorado has agreed to no longer block constituents from social media accounts linked to his state office, his state Senate office. The ACLU filed a lawsuit against Republican Ray Scott of Grand Junction in May on behalf of Ann Landman. While Scott unblocked Landman's access to his account shortly after the lawsuit was filed, the ACLU sought a federal court order to bar public office holders in Colorado from censoring people on social media accounts linked to their official roles. The lawsuit was settled Friday without such an order. Earlier this year, the Senate President, Leroy Garcia, was sued over his decision to block someone from commenting on his Facebook page. Both settlements cost taxpayers $25,000. President Donald Trump is still fighting a New York court ruling saying he can't block critics on his Twitter feed. So do you think the president should be able to block, or anybody in public office, should they be able to block the Facebook feeds of individuals who criticize them or offered opposing
viewpoints? Not if it's a public
points.
Account. Not if they set up the account as president of the United States or senator so-and-so.
Well,
or
Donald Trump is arguing that it's his personal account, even though it's called The Real Donald Trump, hashtag The Real Donald Trump. So it's
what does that mean? It means he's the president of the United States.
Right. He happens to be the president, but he's saying these are just his personal Twitter opinions.
Well, we've all been subjected to his personal Twitter opinions, even though we'd rather not be. So I'm sorry if he's going to call somebody on his account a name, then they have a right to call him back. I look at what they did in broadcasting years ago. We had the fairness doctrine that the FCC has kind of backed off on over the years, but still elements of it are in place. If we determine that you personally attacked someone on the air, someone called in the show, for example, and attacked somebody else, saying something bad about them, right? We had an affirmative obligation to contact that person, notify them they'd been attacked, and offer them equal time to respond. I think that's the same thing should apply to the president or any politician who wants to take people on their Facebook page.
So he should, if he tweets out, you know, that Senator so-and-so did something bad, then they should be able to respond on his Twitter.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, if you don't want them to respond, don't make a charge against them in the first place or find some other venue to do it. He can have a press conference where he says the same thing. And that's, you know, then the press is welcome to go contact that person if they want to and say, do you want to respond to the president? And they all do. How many times have you seen a story where the president came down on someone and they asked that person to comment? Most notably, James Comey. So, you know, that's the way it should be played. If you're going to attack me, give me a chance to respond.
1-800-795-9565. Earlier in our program, we talked about in Chicago, how many people died in Chicago?
Over the weekend, seven, 35 shots, seven of them killed.
Okay, and then, but in a shooting in Texas, a one-time incident, a mass shooting, seven individuals also died there. So I guess Senator Cruz sees there's some similarities there. Is that what I'm
No, he's
guessing?
Just saying that Chicago, he just pointed out that, you know, people are upset about what happened in Texas, but it's going on in Chicago every week. It's not just an uncommon occurrence as it is in Texas.
No big deal in Chicago. It happens all the time.
Right. Well, apparently they've come to accept it.
Right. Well, and it's not citywide. For the most part, there's a lot of safe areas, at least right. during the day in Chicago, where tourists...
Apparently, most of the trouble's on the south side, according to a friend of mine who hailed from Chicago.
They should do a song, The South Side of Chicago.
I think there was one, wasn't there?
Really?
I don't know. But we have an
Jim
email...
Croce, come on.
We do have an email on the suggestion that Jim may... Or no, Jim didn't make it. Tom made it about taking away ammunition. One of our writers says, taking away ammunition will not solve the problem. The problem isn't the gun or ammunition. It is an evil heart in the person deciding on hurting others.
But if you have a person that's intent on evil and you make weapons and firearms and ammunition readily available, or
somebody in China went into a school and killed seven little children. I found it interesting. The story didn't say what weapon was used.
Oh.
And another incident in China where a woman went into a school and killed a number of children. She did it with a knife.
Okay.
So I agree with that it's the evil in the heart of the person.
We had a nasty knife attack in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago.
You know, then you look at what happened here in Sunbury over the weekend, where they had a standoff. Somebody was outside shooting with guns, and they were arrested, taken into custody, and two of them were turned over to ICE, which I think points out the fact that Sunbury is not a sanctuary city, thank God. You know, if you get arrested, if you do something insane, you're going to get arrested and you're going to get shoved out of the country if you don't happen to belong here legally.
All right. Do you happen to know where some of these begin?
Yes, I do.
And end? All right. Well,
I do.
These are text messages. What happens is people send us messages that are more than 144 characters, and subsequently it comes in a series of boxes here, but they're not in any particular order. So, of course, a capital letter marks the beginning of a text, but you never know where it goes
after that.
Well,
that's our problem. They don't care as long as we read it
correctly. I'm
just
telling people why I have to ask you to interpret these.
Well, I got this one, the first one. The known mentally deranged can be prevented from getting firearms if the government does their job and enters the info into the NICS. If they don't, then the government fails. The possibility of stopping someone that goes off the deep end is next to impossible, but I do know that infringing on law-abiding citizens' rights won't stop them either. Good point.
Okay.
You agree with that?
Yeah, it's Stan's shtick. He makes his good point regularly. Right, no argument there. Are there any common sense gun law changes that could make us safer? Senator Toomey, as you heard in the report, has talked about a couple of things. Well, here's a report about Senator Toomey. He's talking to the president about some good topics.
Speaking on ABC's This Week, Senator Pat Toomey says he and his staff are having ongoing conversations with the administration.
Well, I will tell you, I have spoken with the president repeatedly and recently about this topic. He is very interested in doing something meaningful.
The Republican senator is co-sponsor of legislation with Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia. It calls for expanded background checks with an emphasis on gun shows and internet sales. Toomey's appearance came in the wake of a mass shooting in West Texas, which has left 8 people dead. Tory Gates, News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
Are you okay, buddy?
Yes, I am. Okay.
I cannot find a succinct list of Senator Toomey's background check bill, but basically it would be universal background checks on all commercial gun sales and private sales. Senator Toomey has talked about an exemption for family hand-me-downs, so maybe that would... that exemption would exist, but I can't find that in writing. Another thing you would do is after, I think it's 3 days after you fail a background check, the government has 3 days to codify precisely why it is you can't be buying a gun. But if they don't come up with the reason during that time, then you can, and the gun can be sold. One of his bills would extend that to 10 days. So the government has 10 days to prove why you shouldn't be able to find the
waiting
gun.
Waiting period? No, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, it's not a waiting period for a gun. It's a waiting period if you've been denied. Like if the federal system says no, you know, he fails the gun test, the federal system would notify an individual gun dealer that, you know, like Joe McGranahan has failed the test or, you know, should be denied the sale. But I don't believe it says why. It just says there is a denial, and then the gun buyer has to sort of adjudicate it from there.
Should they state a reason?
To the gun dealer, no. I don't think you should pass it on to the gun dealer. The gun dealer's in a wonderful position then to say, look, you've been denied the federal sale. You need to explore this.
But what's the first question I'm going to ask if you tell me I've been denied? Why? What I do?
Right. And fortunately, the gun dealer won't know. It'll just be, say, the federal system said no. They can give you all kinds of information that tells you how to proceed to get this cleared up so that you can, you know, buy whatever weapon.
So the government has no affirmative obligation to contact me and say, you were denied for the following reason.
They might contact you if you did something significantly wrong. You know,
if I had no legal right to obtain.
Right, and you were trying to.
And that would be the only reason they could deny me, right? Is if I had some criminal background or impairment of some sort.
If you falsely answered one of the questions
on
there.
Well, then I would have committed a crime.
Right. So anyway, so the senator would give the government 10 days to prove their case rather than 3 days. I think that's it. Another thing, it would fix NICS. It would that national background system. Checking system has holes in it. One of it is that the U.S. Armed Forces declines to participate in it. They don't want individuals that are denied the right to buy guns while they're in the U.S. military to carry over into the civilian system. So, you know, you could be the worst mass shooter in history and then become a civilian, and the NICS never knows that you had a background check system that, or a background, you know, a dilemma in your past.
Okay, well, there's a loophole that should be closed.
Right. Another thing would require enforcement. Apparently, there's a lot of discretion that's involved at local police and DAs when it comes to violations. In other words, you mentioned the gun shop in Shamokin Dam. It's just one, right? Just one gun shop. Okay, so they get a denial, and they rightly notify police, and police take action, and the Snyder County DA takes action, so that's appropriate. But there are places where that does not happen, you know, where police use discretion or the DA uses discretion and things aren't. So Senator Toomey would want these things to be enforced without fail. It would be mandatory that everybody would have to enforce these.
Well, they should be, because the alternative would be that I get a gun and I'm not entitled to have one.
Right.
Under the law.
Well, you've been denied. You could go through the appeal process if it's an appropriate denial. If you were lying, you would never get the right permission from the federal government. You would never get that gun.
Well, I think in
legally.
Many instances I'm aware of, it is a lie, where they were asked, have you ever been convicted of this or that, or you ever had this adjudication?
Yeah,
and they've lied
cases.
About it.
Right. In most cases, people know that they would fail. They're going to fail this before they do.
What's the question? Have you ever been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor where you could spend at least a year in jail or something like that?
Right. Or is such a case pending?
Okay.
You know, so a year in jail, I mean, that's an easy penalty for most crimes. I mean, misdemeanors can put you in jail for a year under certain circumstances. So.
And that's enough to disqualify you from a gun ownership?
Immediately, right. You can probably get it cleared up as your case is adjudicated and
so after I serve my debt to society, then I can have the gun?
Well, even if it stays a misdemeanor and you are adjudicated that, and it's just a misdemeanor and you are convicted and you weren't sentenced to a year in prison, which would be a likelihood, then you can that would no longer be a violation of the system. A misdemeanor conviction isn't enough to not get a gun.
Okay. Well, I still don't see anything that would have stopped what happened in Texas, because the guy got the guns illegally.
Well, we do this. You know, we do this with every gun. With every mass shooting, okay, so we're interested in all these different kind of gun laws. What if we had, like, Senator Toomey's talked about a half a dozen of them. These are just the ones I can think of. He has the no-fly, no-buy list. If you're on the no-fly list, you can't buy a gun in the U.S. So, but we do this. We say, okay, so the gunman in Texas, the most recent one, failed background checks, so he's clearly in the outs. The guy in Philadelphia that was shooting at police and wounded police, thank God none of them were killed, but he had guns illegally, so he would not have been able to legally purchase.
I thought he had them
it.
Legally. I guess.
No, he's a convicted felon. He had them illegally.
Okay, well, you know, if you have a gun and you commit a crime with it, you're then... I mean, that's it, right? There's an extra 5-year sentence in most states now, isn't there, if you've committed crime with a gun?
I don't know if that's universal. It certainly exists. There is a mandatory gun enhancement in Pennsylvania.
Would that solve the problem, making it 10 years, automatic 10 years in prison? But here's what's interesting about Texas is that the guy got fired, and immediately he called police about alleged... wrongdoing by his employer, and the employer called to complain about him.
Okay.
So the police should have had the guy on their radar screen.
Big fat red flag.
Right. So who is responsible? And, you know, if I get a call, police get a call that says somebody may do something, well, how should they respond? Should they make that a high priority? Or is does the priority come about when you actually do something? I mean, I could call the police and say, I just had a verbal argument with Mark Lawrence. I know he's got a gun license.
That would be a weekday
right,
on your schedule.
Every weekday. And I really think he's, you know, I think he might become unhinged and you should check that gun he's got.
Mm-hmm.
So should the police come to your house? And you might say, well, oh, no, we just had a dispute and then it's over. I forgot about it. Okay. Or should the police come to your house and take your gun because I called and complained?
Well, red flag laws, if that's what you're talking about, they're very specific about the potential danger for not just
no,
others.
No, I'm talking about what puts you on a police department's radar screen.
At all,
at
regardless
all.
Of
right.
a red flag law.
Right.
Well, that wouldn't do it. I mean, you could definitely, the police would definitely talk to you and maybe say, we're keeping an eye on you or that kind of thing. But I think sort of your past background and 100 factors will go into police decision-making under those circumstances.
Well, let's say you threaten to take your own life. You're distraught over something and you threaten to take your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Should the police come to your house if you've been taken to the hospital for treatment, rightly so, to give you the help you need, and if the police find
well,
out you have a firearm?
Well, those laws already exist.
Okay,
so you can
so
already
can come
302
to your house.
Somebody who's suicidal because they're a danger
well,
to themselves.
Well, I'm not talking about necessarily 302 them. I'm talking about somebody who seeks help on their own, let's say. Or
okay.
the police do find them and take them, and
well,
they voluntarily agree to admit themselves.
I think that's a 301 or something like that.
And if they have firearms, can they immediately be removed?
If you voluntarily do all of this, I do not think firearms are mandatorily removed from individuals who commit themselves to a mental health facility.
So basically what we're doing, and I guess the point I'm trying to make, is we're going around in a circle, and there
yes,
is no one there is no
are.
One thing that is going to stop these from happening, short of confiscating all guns, and that isn't going to fly in this
well,
country.
Plus, it won't work anyway. People will just super-duper hide them, you know, hide them not necessarily in their home or whatever. They'll hide them someplace else. So that they can go get them at the appropriate time that they think is the appropriate time.
Okay, so
confiscation won't work. It will never fly in the U.S., as you mentioned.
But I do think universal background checks at least give us some look into the background of people who wish to own a firearm. And I think it should be graded. Again, I'll go back to what I've said before. It should be graded based on what it is you're trying to obtain. If you're looking for a six-shot pistol to protect yourself in the event somebody breaks into your home,
just
I think the bar should be fairly low. But you want an assault rifle with a 100 magazine, 100 clip with 100 bullets in it, you've got to have a pretty good reason for that, and you've got to go through a rather extensive background check.
I think you're on to something, Joe. I think that could work. Let's see what people think. Limiting magazine sizes. That's something we have talked about in the U.S. That has momentum.
Only saying doing that, if you require, you let them have it, but they have to justify their either need for it or their stability to own it.
All right, we have one email with President Trump in the lead line that does not have anything to do with weapons, and one text that does have something to do with weapons. We'll take all comers. Should we limit magazine sizes? And we don't mean like a big, thick Time magazine. We're talking about magazines that hold 100 rounds of bullets or 50 or 30. Magazine limits at 5 or 10 rounds is kind of commonly talked about. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Should we do that in the U.S.? You can also email us at onthemarket@kok.com. Or Stan, you can go ahead and text the word no to 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Ask and ye shall receive. Let's start with texts, emails, and phones. Joe, read the bottom text.
Okay,
if
question.
You would.
Why is it called gun violence? It's people violence. A gun can commit no crime on its own. It takes a person, just like the use of a knife, screwdriver, baseball bat, car, or bare hands to commit the crime against another person. I do believe there are all kinds of laws against all crimes, and yet, what do we have? Criminals still committing crimes. And an emailer says, Bob, says, good morning. We need to do something, anything, to stop these shootings. Change some laws now. The NRA donated $30 million to the Trumps in the 2001 election. I guess he means 2016 elections. So Trump won't change his mind.
All right, Jim, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Mark and Joe, after I talked to you the first time, you people went to the national news. And I think a girl went upstairs and found a gun and shot her stepmother and her siblings. And it was just on your station when you went to the 9 o'clock news break and that. So now how do you stop stuff like that?
Not have a gun
and
in the household?
I think she was a teenage girl. And I'll hang up and I'll wait for your response, sir.
Well, if there was no gun in the household, she wouldn't have been able to
Be no gun if the gun is locked up. If the teen's not qualified to use it, then the gun's locked up and the key's hidden or a combination lock.
But if you got it for safety, what good does it do you to have it locked up?
It does hamper under the certain circumstances, but they have some safes that use a palm print to get in them. So, you know, only the individual who has freedom to use that or the combination, it just takes a few seconds to access the safe, so you're not losing much time than if you have the gun, you know, someplace else along that line.
Okay, well, if you say so.
Let's see, that does not relate to gun topics.
No.
Go ahead and read the text, and then we got a caller.
Okay, all firearms sold on the internet are supposed to go to a dealer for transfer. That's the law. All dealers being sold at gun shows by dealers, I think he means all guns being sold at gun shows by dealers, require a background check. Private individuals selling long guns are not required by law. Some sellers want it done, and that's their choice. Magazine capacity limits will not stop criminals, but it'll make the left feel good until the next shooting, and then they'll need something else.
Right. We just want to feel good. That's our only goal, since really there is no regulation that could help gun dilemmas, because it isn't a gun problem, it's a people problem. So maybe we do need red flag laws. What do you think about that, Stan? You think red flag laws are a good idea? Dan's our first or next caller. He's the last caller before a quick break. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you know, one weapon that's greatly overlooked today, which they made a lot of improvements for more power, is the air rifle. Back when I was a kid, my first weapon was an air rifle, which was a Red Ryder. It was fairly wimpy, you know, but today they make air rifles. I read a big article in Field and Stream, an air rifle that'll kill medium. Now this is medium-sized game, up to and including a white-tailed deer.
Woo-hoo.
And that's an air rifle that was super power. So, you know, no matter what they do to try to curb gun laws, there's always other ways to create a weapon. And here's another thing. Jim brought up black powder. I could make that right here. I need three ingredients: charcoal, saltpeter, and sulfur. You can make your own black powder, and that's very volatile stuff. It'll, you know, they use the Revolutionary War, they used it in the Civil War. You can do a lot of damage with black powder.
How much saltpeter do you have at your house?
I don't have any, but I could get it.
What is it?
I saw Peter, my father, used it in butchering.
And supposedly the military used it for another reason.
Yeah, I heard about that too. But
we won't talk about that.
No,
we can't talk about that on the radio. But so Yeah, you can make black powder fairly easy. And another thing, you talked about slingshots. They're very powerful. And by the way, David actually did knock down the giant with a slingshot. He was an expert, but he didn't kill the giant with the slingshot. He knocked him down in his temple, knocked him out, and then he slew him with his own sword. He took the giant's sword and slit his head or cut his head.
Well, he
right
would pass
off.
A background check.
Well, then
for
we
a
need
sword.
To change something about our sword regulations.
Sword.
Yeah. So you know, them people in them days, they were experts with slingshots. It's unbelievable what they could do with one. So there's all kinds of weapons, but the big surprise to me was the air rifle. I hadn't realized how much power they were getting into an air rifle, that you could actually kill a white-tailed deer.
What do you have to do, pump it up or something beyond just the CO2 cartridges?
I think you pump it multiple times.
Okay.
I think the ones that were more powerful that I saw, I had one, but I sold it. You could pump up to 1,300 feet per second, which is pretty powerful to kill small game.
Take an eye out.
Yeah, oh, easy. You
I just like yelling.
With the Red Ryder, with
yeah,
the
that's
Red
what we
Ryder
heard.
BB gun, you could take an eye out. You could slew a pigeon. We used to shoot pigeons off the barn roof with a Red Ryder.
Okay.
So.
All right. Wow.
They came a long way. Good talking with you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
And you have a great day, a beautiful one at that.
Sounds nice. All right, we'll go from Dan to...
murdering small animals with a BB gun. That doesn't sound good.
Well, pigeons are a nuisance.
Okay. One of our texters says, red flag laws are un-American and unconstitutional. They take people's rights away without due process. Just happened in Oregon to a Marine that made a statement that if he was attacked by Antifa, he would protect himself with deadly force if necessary. He committed no crime, but the thought police came and confiscated his firearms.
Well, that's a red flag law gone awry. That's obviously not the intent of the law, anyway.
Well, if he said he would use deadly force if attacked, that's nothing more than saying I will defend myself.
Right,
so.
Yeah, that's it's something else cooking there.
You think?
Well, there would have to be. The red flag laws don't work that way. He may have violated some other law, but a red flag law, they don't work in that particular manner.
Well, apparently this one did.
And Mr. Stan knows that. Now, this is the top one's from another individual.
Right. He says, observing all the outcry from the Hollywood elites concerning the need to eliminate firearms for you and I'm sure they know what is best for us common folk, but I'm sure they wouldn't be in favor of having their armed security, which I'm sure a lot of these people have, being eliminated. How hypocritical.
Right.
And then about the difference between locking up a gun and having it available, one texter says a few seconds can be the difference between life and death.
All right. Thank you so much for the texts and emails and calls. We'll take more. Bring them on. 1-800-795-9565. We are going to cure all known diseases, feed the poor, and solve our gun violence issue by making ammunition illegal, limiting the magazine sizes, imposing red flag laws that all you have to do is say that someday you might do something violent, that should be sufficient to take your guns and knives and forks and rocks. Can you imagine you
and your slingshot?
All your rocks in your driveway will be gone when you wake up one day.
Do they still sell pea shooters? When I had a kid as
a pea shooter.
You never had that. Shot little dried peas, and it was like a long plastic straw.
Okay, oh, it's plastic.
And you would put the pea in and then blow on it. And it
I would not say that I've seen one lately. I know you can buy a dart, a good, you know, good lethal dart gun, or blow dart.
Blow dart, okay.
Right.
Well, I haven't seen those.
1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
One 800 795 9565.
You got that right.
Text, please.
Says that's exactly how red flag laws will work when administered by leftists.
All right.
I don't know which particular thing he was.
The one where
to.
the guy just simply mentioned he'd use his guns on Antifa
to defend
members
himself.
And he lost his firearm.
To defend himself, he said.
Right. Pat, you're on the mark. Thanks. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, good morning. First, let me commend your use of proper vocabulary by not using the word clip. As soon as you say clip, the gun owners now hear somebody who does not know what he's talking about. Magazine is the correct term. Thank you for
and
that.
And what is a clip? I think of a M1 Garand that has a clip, right? It's
well,
just a little
clip,
metal clip.
You know, it might be, I don't know how you're going to use that. It could be used different ways. But the thing that holds the bullets that go in a semi-automatic rifle or pistol is a magazine, and as I say, if you want to have any credibility with a gun owner, use that term like you're doing. Thank you.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention that the red flag laws resulted in the death of somebody in Maryland already, a citizen, who somebody called and said, so-and-so here has a gun, and I'm scared. So about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, the guy's in bed, excuse me, and the police break down his door and come in with armed. Well, what does the guy do? As a responsible homeowner, he gets out of bed to defend his house and with his pistol, and the cops saw his gun, boom, 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 now the citizen is dead. No due process there.
Right. I believe he shot him through the door. I don't think the police went in. It wasn't even as precarious as you mentioned. It's less so, based on your description. I believe they shot him through a window. They could see him inside with the gun. Shot him. So that's definitely police overreach and police accident based on, you know, bum information given to police.
Right. Yeah, either way, the red flag law resulted in the death of a citizen. And you're right, police overreaction, definitely. The magazine size, there was a case in Florida where there was a home invasion and four guys came in and they had their semi-automatic rifles and the homeowner brought out his. And thank goodness he had a high-capacity magazine, was able to take out two of them instantly and wound. The other two were captured. I think one was wounded. But if he'd four guys come in with high-powered rifles, and this guy's in there with a five-shot Smith & Wesson Chief Special Airway, he's dead. So the magazine, I refuse to use the term assault weapon. It can be used in an assaulting manner, of course, but in this case, it was a self-defense weapon. There's no such thing as a proper definition for an assault weapon to begin with, and this man was using it as a self-defense weapon. If he'd had a smaller magazine, he would have been dead.
But doesn't that beg the question about it? If what's the need for all these high-powered weapons to begin with? If they weren't available, or if they were more restricted, neither party would have had them.
Well, but you know that's not going to happen. There was an assault weapons ban for a while there. I think that was Dianne Feinstein's doing, I believe. But regardless, they found out that it made no difference, and that these mass shootings and things were not taking place with so-called assault weapons, high-powered, high-capacity rifles, were being done by handguns mostly. And that's why they let the assault weapons ban fade away, because it was totally meaningless, except that it would remove rights of legal gun owners to have one.
So what's the answer? What's the answer? How do we stop these mass shootings, or how do we even put a dent in them?
now you're getting into the spiritual arena, because you know this country has always had guns. They didn't have mass shootings till recently. Figure about 1963 when they took prayer out of schools. It's not a gun problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's a social problem. People didn't used to do this stuff. Why do they do it now? That's where it has to be addressed. Gun owners are not a threat to anybody except the criminal. And what's wrong with
that?
So
we took prayer out of school. In other words, we enforced a law that should have been enforced all along, that prayer is not appropriate in school. And that has contributed to all of our mass shootings?
That's where it starts. And you're talking to somebody that said prayer every day in school. I'm 68 years old, soon to be 69. And when I was a kid, we not only had prayer every morning, there was a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and those who did not want to cooperate or participate, rather, they were just told they didn't have to. And we had, every Friday, we went across the street from our school to a church and had religious training. And there was one youngster in my class who was a Seventh-day Adventist. His parents didn't want to do that. Okay, you stay here, read a book, do your homework, whatever you like. No problem. It's called freedom of choice, which they've forgotten about now.
Well, I got a few years on you, and when I went to school, it was mandatory to read the say the Lord's Prayer and read 10 verses from the Bible every morning in a public school in the city of Harrisburg.
It didn't hurt you, did it?
No, it didn't hurt me a bit.
Yeah, but look at you now. Yeah. Your hair fell
out. And my best friend...
I'll tell you another interesting thing. Living in Texas, we do school assembly programs down there, motivational programs for students. And in Texas, they start the morning... some schools do a prayer because some principal have told me, this is my school, and we do what we want to here. Again, freedom of choice. But they'll do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and then they'll do a Pledge of Allegiance to the Texas flag. Because, you know, there's a Texas nationalist movement that wants Texas to secede from the Union, and the president of that organization just wrote yesterday an amazing and very persuasive essay on, please, if you don't live here, don't tell us what to do when it comes to gun problems.
Gotcha.
Very interesting. I could email it to you if I can find it again, but anyway... nice to listen to you guys. My wife gets mad because I vent my spleen on your show, and she says, "Why don't you just forget all this stuff?"
Hey, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for.
Hey, if it weren't for yelling at the radio, we'd have no response at all. All right, thank you so much.
I've got the most vented spleen you ever saw.
We're happy to help out in that, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Pat.
Take care.
Thank you.
Right,
we got some callers
bye-bye.
And texts and emails standing by. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. Please.
The death by red flag law was not an accident. It was a crime. If the guy threatens no one and was shot through a window, that's a criminal act.
Right. This was a Maryland case in Anne Arundel County where a man was being served a red flag law, extreme risk protection law warrant for his guns. He went to the door with a gun, opened the door, set the gun down. And when police said they were there for his guns, he went for the gun and pointed it at police and fired it. So the police opened fire.
Well, that wasn't violent.
That is a police-involved shooting where, tragically, right. The man who was being served that died. But Lawrence is worthless. Speculation based on the police account there is that would be considered, unfortunately, a justified shooting. Red flag is just the incidental thing that happened there.
Why do you say unfortunately a justified shooting? It was a justified shooting.
Well, it's too bad the police have to do that sometimes. I mean, it's unfortunate.
Okay, I agree with you there. But the guy brought it on himself when he went for the gun again.
Right. So in this case, it is a fully police-involved shooting. There's been no prosecution of the officers.
Not
involved.
Through a door and not seeing a
guy
through
that
a window.
See, I'm blending cases. There was one case where officers shot somebody. They were responding to a false burglar alarm. So the guy came to his door with a gun, and police saw that, and they felt threatened by that, and then a shooting. But I don't believe that man died. I'm not sure. All right, anyway. Al, thanks for calling in. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I heard in conversation this morning that if you possess a medical marijuana card, that you cannot legally possess a firearm by federal law.
Okay.
So really? That's just another red flag and just another jab at the Second Amendment.
Where'd you hear
freedom
that?
Freedom and liberty.
I haven't heard that. Where'd you hear that?
I just had a fact check by you guys.
I checked it for him.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fact checked, and that's it. There you go. It's they
it's
got
real.
a lot of back doorways of getting your guns. And when New Orleans had their big hurricane, and they went into a lot of homes and took all the weapons out of the homes, and those people still don't have their weapons back. So you know they're chopping away at it a little bit at a time, and we just can't let it happen. Our freedom and our liberty is at stake, and you know the Second Amendment was there for a reason, and a well-armed militia is there to keep the government in line so this kind of stuff doesn't happen. And we are formed on a judicial Christian type constitution, and when you start getting away from that, you're going to have things like this.
It's
you're
going
to have people that just don't have any sense of morality. And, you know, and then they go ahead and show these games and stuff where you can kill massive amounts of people and gain points, and they're desensitized, and it's no wonder. We just created it all ourselves.
Just for the record, Al, it's not a well-armed militia. It's a well-regulated militia. That's what's in the Constitution.
Well, they better be well-armed, too.
Yeah, well, we have a well-armed citizenry. All right, we got more calls coming in, but please go ahead, Stan or Al, and wrap up.
Well, that's it for me today. Thank you.
Perfect. You brought us some information we didn't have before, so thanks for that, Al. We appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Stan, you're on the mark. Boy, your thumbs are going to be happy. You just dialed one time.
Good morning. Al's right. According to the federal firearms form that you fill out when you purchase a gun, it says, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, and other controlled substance? Then it has a warning there. It says the use or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medical or recreational purposes in the state where you reside. So if you have a medical marijuana card, you are not allowed by federal law to purchase or own a firearm.
Huh. But you're also not allowed to
turn in your guns.
If they decide they want to go through, I don't know how they issued such a thing, but if the law enforcement, like the attorney general or something, decides they want to go through that, they could legally go to each resident that has one of those cards and ask them if they have firearms and check.
But they don't.
Well, they don't. In Pennsylvania, that's the state's attorney general. It's a federal crime. So if the feds want to come through and go to the state and ask who has these cards and then go check, because you know there's certain records they can check. If a guy has purchased a handgun in PA, that's on record. If he purchased it through a dealer, well, even if he didn't purchase through a dealer, it's supposed to be transferred. So that is a matter of record, which could take care of that.
Yeah, good point.
Stan, as always, you are a wealth of useful information.
Sometimes.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Jim, you're going to have to catch us tomorrow because we're out of time.
At which time you'll be a first-time caller that day, so you get to have more time anyway. Rob Sanders, a fabulous producer, has kept up today and did a super job, as always. Joe's coming back tomorrow, too. This is WKOK Sunbury.